Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everybody. I'm Hydro with my co-host Dr. X once again. And in this episode, we are joined by Shy Joey. Welcome, Shy Joey.
Hello.
Hello.
Now you consider yourself a commissionist, meaning that you're the one who likes to find artists to then pay them to do work for, correct?
That is correct.
How many artists would you say that you've already been a commissionist for?
Oh boy, I would have to say it's already like maybe 30 plus already.
Because like I see like this collage you've got on your Brag page, and those must be just from all different artists, correct?
Yes, it's all different artists. Sure, there are some repeats, mainly because I just like them. They fit well together. But at the same time, it's there are some that I couldn't include, mainly because they're other stuff, like animations, GIFs, and stuff like that. And there was also the fact that that list is growing.
That's pretty awesome that you've actually already, commissioned that many artists, because it's like, you know, you're supporting kind of the community who draw, you know, Shota characters and Lolly characters.
Yeah, it's really nice to actually contribute after being in the community for a very long time. I've been in this community longer than some people may actually believe. It's actually surprising. I just been lurking. I really just been lurking.
Can you say how long you've been lurking or been in the community?
I would have to say I've been lurking for more than, I'd say around maybe 2012, 13, somewhere around there.
So that's more than 10 years ago then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be more actually, because I don't remember everything still, but because at the time I had to be more discreet. And at the time I was even more shy than I am now. So I would regularly put it on like these burner accounts.
Now, is 10 years ago about the time when you first got into Shota and Lolly?
Actually, I think it would be more like before. I think it would be like somewhere like maybe 5 years before that, actually.
And at the time, did you know about the term Shota and Lolly, or was it just that you liked that kind of art?
I didn't know the term at the time.
It's so common. It's so interesting. Like it was with us too, that we liked that kind of art before we actually knew what the terms were.
Yeah. What was weird about my experience was that compared to others, mine was through the lens of like a conservative view, where I was kind of raised in this thing where it's always straight stuff, where it's always straight porn. So whenever I first got into Shota, it was actually straight stuff, like Shota Loli, Shota MILF, stuff like that.
Oh, so that's how you started.
Yeah, it's changed so much since then.
In what way has it changed? Do you think you now prefer Yaoi Shota more, or is something else?
I am more bi than I was before, to the point where I prefer more male characters.
Oh, I see. Was Shota like a way to discover more part of yourself?
I would have to say yes, because most of the time with this art that I commission, it's usually based on like maybe either an experience I've once had, or maybe a fantasy I've had, because that's overall what art should be, just expressing something that you really like.
I know for straight Shota, pretty common fantasy is like the Shota with the teacher. And I know, you know, some of us grew up fantasizing about a teacher. So when it comes to art and fiction, we like to see that fantasy realized. So that would be an example.
Yeah, in the beginning, that's what I saw more on the internet than anything else. It was always something similar to that. I actually remember the GIF that actually I first saw, and also the comic I once saw.
Oh, really? Oh, so you have a specific... Ooh, tell us.
Yeah, I am curious.
I remember the creator was on N Hentai, and the creator was named Agata.
Oh, yep. Agata, of course. Yep.
And I remember, I think it was either... the one where she gets with a bunch of her students, or the one where it's the adventure that was my first one.
The one with the students one is probably one of my top favorite ones. I think, is that the one where it's like, it like says like the teacher is like a huge pervert or something like that in the beginning?
Yeah, it's the one where like the student's like showing himself off because he wants to show off to like the rest of his friends and stuff like that, you know? You know, like the stereotypical smug child.
Yes, that's probably one of my top, like, in terms of like the teacher and Shota's dynamic, that's one of my top, easily one of my top three or top five comics. As a matter of fact, that comic or that doujin served as a kind of a precursor to me coming up with In Sexual Awakening 1. Like as far as inspiration. So
whenever I was reading the story of that, whenever I was rereading it, actually, I've noticed that the personality of that one child that started showing himself off really started feeling a little bit similar to the character you guys created, the male character.
Oh, interesting. So you're talking about... You're not talking about Daniel from IA2, but you're talking about Nate from IA1, correct?
Yes, that's the one.
Gotcha. Interesting.
For some reason, I don't know why, it just had a similar feeling. I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some kind of like, if some of that did hint, get into the character, because, you know, Agata was a huge like point of reference for me in terms of Shota designs and like the dynamics between the characters. So
yeah, I remember distinctly that when we were designing some of the scenes that we wanted for NIA1 or the Shota characters, that Agata was one of the references.
Yeah, it was because there was like that there was like that mother and son doujin, which was another huge reference point for me. And there was another one that was like, I think it was like summer vacation with a sister or something. And it was like a tanned sister, which was served as kind of an inspiration for Kira in IA1. So it's like, it's so much of it. It was... Agata was like a big focus point for me when I was looking up references, because at the time when IA1 was being made, you know, Barag was not really that prevalent. Like, I didn't know about it, and I didn't really know about like other websites or other places for like being able to quickly find like more Shota and Lolly references. So it's interesting that you said that Agata was like a big trigger point for you. It's pretty great.
Yeah, because like from there I went into recommendations, and that's when the floodgates opened, because from there I remember the first recommendation was a comic by Mitsui Jun. He does a lot of yaoi stuff, so much. He is basically mainly focused on just Shota, to the point where I think he's one of the OG creators, I believe. That's what one of my friends said, apparently.
Oh, really? Interesting. So that was kind of the major breakthrough for you, was his works?
Yeah. From there, I just started finding more and more artists from the, I remember I was looking through the links, and eventually from there I went to Fanbox, and then from there I went to Pixiv, and finally to Barag.
Wow, it's quite a journey. Finding everything. Would you say you're more into Shota than Lolly, or more like equally?
I would have to say equally. It doesn't really show in the commissions I get, but it, for me, it is an equal love for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that for me, I like to commission for my OC. I don't usually commission based on like established characters or other stuff like that.
Oh, so most of the art that you've gotten commissioned is of your OC, the Shota character?
Yeah.
Is your Shota character named Joey, or is it named something else?
Yes, it is Joey.
How did you come up with that character? It's a very cute design. What kind of inspiration did you get when you came up with the OC, Joey?
It's actually a very weird story. For some reason, in the back of my head, I was just imagining this character throughout the entire time I was in the community, but I never had the guts to actually draw him. Eventually, I think it was almost a year ago, and I remember I did a sketch, and from there, my friend, he's Chong. I don't know if you've seen him around before, but he offered to actually draw my character, and from there, that was when Joy was officially created, a mix of my own creative input and his.
Oh, nice. So that was like the launching point.
Yeah, from there, it was just kind of like, here's the baseline. From there, I can establish whatever I want.
How did you feel when you finally got to see like this OC character, Joey, in your mind? And you saw it like visually completed for the first time. How did you feel when you saw it?
The way I felt was that this is basically just me. The way I looked at it was that it's just me. It's literally a younger me, blue hair, purple eyes. That's the only difference.
Cool. So it's like you basically saw yourself in the character.
Yeah, I know it's not really it's not a popular opinion in the community, but in a way, it's kind of like a self-insert. I won't sugarcoat it. It kind of is.
I mean, I feel like with OCs, there's always going to be a little bit of yourself that's going to be inserted into the character. So I don't think it's, I think that's a pretty common thing to see happen.
Yeah, it's just that some people are kind of like a little bit iffy on self-inserts and stuff like that.
Honestly, it feels especially common in the Lolly Shota community, the self-insert character, because it's kind of like, oh, like what if I was a kid again and having all this different kinds of fun and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what me and my friends talk about all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not surprised that that's a very common thing. And I mean, I haven't seen any people who've shown a problem with it, but I can understand where some people can feel iffy about self-insert OCs. But I mean, it's like when you want to make a Shota or Lolly OC, and you're an adult now. It's kind of like, yeah, if only I was a kid again, and I could I could be with my teachers or any other adult characters.
Yeah, it's fine to have self-insert characters. Who cares? If you're having fun with it, that's all that matters, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, more power to you. Because I mean, look at how many artists you have commissioned to draw your character.
Yeah, I've started doing like a running joke that every single one is part of like its own timeline.
It's like the Joey multiverse.
The Joeyverse.
The Joeyverse.
The thing that I started making a running joke was that in my head, I know there's like a certain canon like timeline where each art is like a separate point in time, and it's just the same Joey.
So Joey's going through all these experiences. I see. I personally like that more. that it's the same character going through all the different experiences.
Yeah, whenever I've described it before, my friend said that it's both confusing but also interesting.
Well, hey, look, if Rick and Morty are allowed to go through all the different multiverses, then the Joeyverse should also be possible.
I think it's also something that I've accidentally done with my D&D characters, because my D&D characters are also Joey.
Oh, no, really? Okay, so I'm curious now. What different variations of, like, classes have you done as the Joey character?
Well, let's see. There's my first one being Bard Joey. You know, Bard, it just sets itself up.
It's true.
Yep. Yeah.
Second one was Warlock.
Ooh, that's interesting. I can actually picture your OC like wearing kind of like Warlock robes and like casting a spell.
And then finally, there's the one with me and Willy with the Avatar D&D campaign he has. My character is an earthbender / waterbender from Kyoshi Island.
Nice, yep.
And his most powerful weapon is his ass.
Oh my god.
does Joey like clap his ass and then like it like causes like an earthquake?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it actually is.
Yes. The power of twerking.
It's ass bending.
Yep.
I don't think he minds if I do tell a little bit of it, but so far the campaign is going very well, to the point where Joey created a new Kyoshi Warriors named the Booty Warriors.
Nice.
Where their main form of attack is using their ass. And most of the members are young boys.
So do they have like a what's their clever catchphrase? Do they like say something? Do they like do a play on words where they say we're gonna clap you by clapping or something like that?
I feel like it would just be like a war cry, but all you hear is clapping cheeks.
Oh my god.
I could just picture him like slightly off, like with the synchronizing, so it creates like the shock wave. That sounds like a fun campaign.
Yeah, there's a lot of like sex scenes, stuff like that. One of my other party members, first of all, my character in the campaign is 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
My other party member is also the same age as my character. And well, he ended up impregnating an owl spirit.
Nice.
By accident.
By accident.
The reason I say by accident is because he kind of just asked her to sleep. That's it. Just to rest. And then the next morning, a bird boy comes out of nowhere and introduces himself as a son.
Oh my goodness. Really starting early, isn't he?
Yeah, it was funny because of the fact that he had that experience, he actually gained the ability to actually start like actually producing sperm. And he took turns on each and every single one of us as a celebration.
This D&D campaign has sounded like it's top tier.
Yeah, it's mostly only guys, mainly because we've never actually come across like a female character that we've actually thought about at the time. For me, I wouldn't mind. Honestly, it would be pretty fun. The only thing closest to a female character that we have is my party member's mom. It's like a separate character that Willy created. And it's like, I know exactly why you created her, and I'm going to watch it.
And this D&D campaign, it takes place in the Avatar universe, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's very altered, though. The history has completely changed.
Yeah, you mean it's like way better because it involves like all these Shotas like fucking all over the place. I like it. And ass bending.
Yeah, it's actually funny because like it's weird imagining my character being the reason why a giant Fire Nation warship wasn't able to get on shore because it kept essentially recreating the D-Day invasion. is I have like this ability where I can hold up a boulder and shatter it up and then shoot it out like bullets, essentially recreating D-Day.
Well,
yeah, that's some serious earthbending, I mean ass bending power rather.
Yeah, I've heard that joke many times.
Well, it's just, it writes itself.
Exactly.
It's even funnier because they use me as a token, as like as a form of negotiation too.
Oh really?
My party members just go like, oh, you want to negotiate with a political figure? Here, have our slutty boy.
His boyish charm wins the day.
It works. My roles are just so high to the point where it just always works.
How many times have you rolled a 20?
I would have to say like it's already happened more than 30 times.
My God.
It explains why your negotiating skills are so good.
Yes, the negotiator. Fucking hell, now I can only just imagine Grievous just holding up my character, my OC.
To touch on an earlier topic, I feel like there's a lot of crossover between Shota and Lolly, like a lot of people like both, and it makes sense because their body types aren't like super different.
It really is. It's just that a lot of people just don't like to admit it, I guess?
Yeah.
For some reason, I've noticed that there's like this weird mentality where like, oh, a bunch of people are saying that they like Yaoi, so I shouldn't tell them that I like Lolly as well. And I'm just like, no, tell them.
Yeah, if you like both or you like one or the other, it's okay to tell people.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be a very high chance that there's going to be other people that also feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm in multiple servers. That are like NSFW based on, well, Shota and Lolly. And there is like this weird tally where like a majority are in one camp and everyone else is just kind of scared to admit that they like the other. It feels like it's in almost every single server and it's starting to like fade away slowly.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of noticed that myself. But of course, with our podcast, it's both Lolly and Shota. We don't exclude anyone. So that's one of the things I like about the podcast is that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a ShotaCon, cool. If you're a LollyCon, cool. It's all good.
And if you're both, also cool.
Yep.
If you're both, you're invited to the party.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally get it. You know, there's you can have like different preferences, sure. Like, you know, some people like straight Lolly, some people like straight Shota. Like, and I'm talking about like exclusively, or it's like they're the one they highly prefer, but then they can also enjoy a different subset too, or a different spinoff. So it's kind of like, even though you may have a preference for one particular thing, it doesn't mean that it's just like, oh no, I can only like this.
Yeah.
Because this is what I've committed to. It's like, no, you can branch out to whatever you want.
Yeah, it's not a competition. It's not sports. you can like both and it's fine.
Another thing I really don't like is like when people start judging like their taste in a certain character or something like that. Because, like, it has happened. I see it around sometimes. Sure, it's not as vocal as on Twitter, of course.
Well, that's always the case. that's why, you know, Twitter we tend to say, you know, if you're feeling like Twitter is causing some problems for you, either your mental health or well-being mentally, then just go to Brag. It's a much, much more inviting place. Especially for Shota and Lolly.
Yeah, I guess the only exceptions are like for certain characters, maybe like Steven Universe, because that one just gets a lot of like hate from everywhere.
It's really important for us in this community to be okay with anyone liking any kind of character. It really doesn't matter what character it is or where the character comes from. You know, it should be cool with people liking what they like.
I always thought Steven from Steven Universe was actually a pretty unique character in terms of design, because it's like, Steven always I thought of as like a chubbier Shota, but it's like a mainstream like chubbier Shota, and I thought that was, I also just liked Steven's design, so of course any kind of a straight Shota stuff with Steven was always great.
Yeah, that's why some of my favorites are actually Steven, like my character, like my OC, he is chubby.
Mm-hmm.
So in most cases he will always be chubby, except for like the small cases where sure he'll be slightly skinnier.
So is that actually like a body type that you like on Shotas? Is kind of like a bit chubbier?
Well, for me, I like all body types. It's just that I do have favorites.
Gotcha. Yeah. Nice.
You like all body types, but you're a little more partial to the chubbier body type. Is that right?
Yeah, even for Loli as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is rare to find, honestly.
Yeah, you're kind of right. It is rare.
For me, I've noticed that it's actually easier to find chubby Shota. And that's pretty hard to find in general. But it's even rarer to find chubby Loli.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Of course, it kind of depends on what we're calling chubby.
That is true. A lot of people have like different definitions of chubby.
Yep.
That's a good point.
And there's also the fact that some of them just call them fat or something like that.
That's true also. Like what person considers chubby and what a person considers fat, what a person considers skinny.
Yeah. I still remember I was looking through Barag and someone was saying, oh, here's my chubby character. I'm just like, this man has a six pack. I won't call out who it was. I seriously don't. I seriously, seriously won't. I will just say that's impossible.
Like, I remember the other day, somebody, I think on our server, I remember I saw like this, it wasn't really a debate or anything. It was more just like somebody just asked a question of like, if this character gets, you know, pregnant, oh, they're going to lose their six pack, or do they retain it? And I'm just like, I think their six pack probably goes away. Yeah, like you can certainly have like a bit of like a chubbier body type, but still have like the muscular build, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely you can. I have noticed that the ones that people tend to like more are the baby fat kind of chubbies.
Yes, like I think of High Wear, like with his art does that. And I really like it. I do like that design.
I think that might be my favorite kind of body type for Lola and Shota's is... is kind of a little bit plump. I'm generally not into like the so skinny that you can see the rib cage, personally.
Yeah, that's kind of a feeling I had too. But at the same time, I don't like to judge really.
Oh, of course. It's like when we talk about preferences, it's not like, oh, like if you like that, fuck you.
Oh, I will never do that. Seriously, I will never do that.
Yeah, we're totally like, if you like something that I'm not into, that's perfectly fine. Like, it's all good. You know what I mean? Even like the art that maybe depicts something that I'm not like super into or as into as other stuff, the art can still be really great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen some like gore art and it's just, wow, it looks amazing. Too bad I'm not into it.
Yeah, but it goes to show how much passion the artists have when they put all that effort into their stuff.
I will say that there's a lot of talented artists out there.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, there are. And you know, there's definitely a lot of talented artists that, you know, honestly deserve a lot more recognition and a lot more promotion and certainly a lot more financial support too.
Yeah, I've been lurking for so many years and I've come by so many different artists and some even that are just gone.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to hear that when some Loli and Shota artists like they kind of disappear or they just kind of stop doing it or but you know we Dr. X and I believe that some people they just kind of will take a break from it and then they'll come back.
Yeah, we've seen it happen.
Yep,
there's always a possibility of an artist that is currently away they might come back.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with Mitsui Jun, because he just suddenly came out of nowhere and made a NES comic.
Oh, so this was recently?
Yeah, it was a not that recent. It was last year, but at the same time, it was a weird surprise because he's been gone for so many years, and then all of a sudden he just comes out of nowhere with a Ness comic.
Oh, it's cool that he came back then.
I feel like when it comes to creative people, and even someone like yourself who likes to commission artists to do art, it's like if you take a break or you're just kind of like, well, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore or whatever. It's like you can't ever truly, I think, completely go away from it. I think when you're a creative person, you're just always going to have that thought of wanting to create something. And that's probably exactly what happened with that artist, is he all of a sudden was just like, dang it, you know what? I want to make a Ness comic. And then they just started working on it.
Yeah, it's definitely happened a lot. I don't know if you've heard this creator before. It's like Moon or something like that, Dark Moon.
Have you heard of that artist before, Dr. X?
No, I don't think I've heard of that artist.
Yeah, I haven't either.
They were going to create a Shota and a Loli game separately.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
And then they just kind of disappeared.
Oh, that's too bad.
They recently came back and they have said that they are going to focus more on Loli, but they are starting to get a little bit more into Shota again. But during that past time, I remember a lot of people were bummed out because their art is amazing, honestly.
Now, is this artist from Japan or are they like a Western artist? Or
with that, I don't know. Because for me, I found them on Fanbox, honestly.
Oh, okay.
And whenever I found him on Fanbox, I joined his Discord server, and then he got banned on Discord, and now his Discord server is dead.
Oh, that sucks. But to be fair, you know, Discord, you got to throw caution to the wind on Discord, so.
Yeah, with me, I'm pretty much safe. I don't, like, try anything crazy or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just basically have the rule of thumb you just got to follow on Discord is don't directly post any not safe for work Lolly or Shota. Just don't do it. And at least in a server setting anyway.
Well, they don't really care about private servers. They only care about the public ones.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, even private servers, you have to watch out because just based on experience with Dr. X and I, there have been private, like meaning like invite only servers that have been banned too, just because they invited somebody who actually was against them or, you know, reported them.
In the servers I'm in, we try to be as careful as possible. We only invite like very close friends.
Yeah, you have to vet people basically.
Yeah, you do. You have to really vet them. Yeah.
For me, it's kind of cool because it feels like an exclusive club or something like that.
Yeah. No, I get that feeling. Well, it's kind of like the Shalicast server.
Yeah, kind of is. We've got some artists in here, right? Well, I mean, most of them are online right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of amazing looking at the list, and this is our 21st episode with Joey here.
Yeah.
Been an amazing adventure, and also thank you for joining us, Joey.
Of course.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we just had posted. Well, at the time of the recording this episode, we had just posted the 20th episode.
Yeah, I saw that notification earlier.
And I mean, I was just thinking to myself, I was just like, "Holy cow!" Like that 20 episodes went by really fast. Like it.
Yes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like right now. but it's like we've been enjoying it immensely, and we're getting so many different people, and we want to get as many different people with different backgrounds and variety. And I think we've accomplished that, and we're going to keep doing that. And you know, I look at your brag and I look at your collage images, and I realize this would be immensely helpful to someone who might be searching around for an artist or wants a particular style.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because if they see this collage, they'll be like, oh man, well, you know, I really like the art here and I really like the art there.
Are there any like Shota characters in anime or games that you're into?
Well, you're looking at my brag, right? It's the one where he's on the bed and there's someone on top of him.
Yeah, I figured it was that one, but I don't recognize that character.
Have you heard of the Owl House?
Okay. That was my guess. So yes, I have heard of the Owl House, and I thought that's what it was. I thought that's what the character was.
Yeah, the Collector is one of my top favorites. The main reason I really like this is because it's such a unique design for a Shota.
Yes, it is, actually.
It's two skin tones, and it's a cosmic child with magic.
Which is super cool. I do like that.
And it's a smug one, too. A smug one.
So you wanted to talk more about other Shota and Lolly characters that you're fans of. I know you had mentioned that Owl House character. What are some others you like?
I would have to say, like, well, there's obviously the one that almost everyone knows about, Dipper Pine.
Yes.
It feels like almost everyone in the entire community likes him.
And he does seem pretty popular among Shotacons.
Yeah, and I that dynamic between Wendy and him is big too.
I've actually seen some art with him and some of Mabel's friends.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Another good one is Mac from Foster's Home of Imaginary Friends.
oh boy, there's gonna be a yep. That's another popular one.
I know someone who's writing fan fiction of him and Frankie.
Yep.
Didn't the creator make art of Mac humping Frankie's leg? I think I saw that.
I believe so. It's just that with Mac, I really like the character so much. I also do like the aspect of it being like, well, obviously, Shota and Melfi. Another good one would be, well, I already mentioned Steven Universe, so that one's one of them. Other good ones would be, a pretty recent one, Go from Pokemon.
I remember. He was the sidekick in the last season that Ash was the protagonist.
Yeah, Pokemon Legends.
Yeah. I remember seeing some episodes where, like, Go went all blushy and, like, talking to Ash.
Yeah, that's when I knew the art was coming.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen some of the art.
I think another one that did happen was Alistair
from Pokemon.
Yeah,
he's a great one. He's one of the Shotas that I like both the Yaoi Shota of and Straight Shota of. He's very versatile.
I do have this one rare one that almost no one talks about, Sophocles.
Oh yeah, that's the chubby Shota from Pokemon Sun and Moon, isn't it?
Yeah, almost no one talks about him. I have seen some art of him. He's not exactly unknown. He's just kind of like overshadowed by the others. I know a lot of people like more like Gary or Ash or something like that.
Well, in Dr. X and I's opinion, Ash needs to take a break from the artwork. allow other Shota Pokemon characters to take the spotlight for a bit.
Yes.
Recently, people have been getting into the youngsters.
Man, I like the youngster much more than Ash. Because Ash is like the default Shota in so much Pokemon Shota art. And it's like, come on, I want to see more youngster and other Shota characters than Ash.
Another good one would be, well, technically he isn't one, but Scott Pilgrim.
What? So you consider Scott like
he's definitely coded as one in my opinion.
I mean, I could see how some people could see him as Shota adjacent,
especially with people drawing him like that, especially since a lot of artists do have that art style now.
Yeah, that is true. That is a good point. Oh, I also wanted to say, I really actually, when you mentioned Dipper Pines, like I actually really loved Gravity Falls. That was probably one of my only recent, well, not really recent, but like, cause see, I mostly watch anime now, but I would say Gravity Falls was a very, very good show though. I did like it a lot.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show.
I liked that it actually had like an overarching plot throughout it. It wasn't kind of like an episodic, you know, nothing's tied together. Kind of, it actually, everything was tied together. So it was a lot of fun. And I did like that.
Well, there was an episodic theme to it. There was an episodic thing. It's just that they don't take themselves seriously.
Yeah. That's true. But I did like how it like tied a bigger story together, and it was following that bigger story, which was good. And I remember when the show concluded, that the show creator, he even said that like Disney pretty much wanted to suck his dick in terms of like wanting him to make more. And he was just like, no, I just want to conclude it because it's a complete story.
Well, over the years, he has changed his mind a little bit because he does want to expand a little bit on the world, but not on just the characters, like the actual world.
Yeah. I could understand wanting to do that because there's definitely a lot of different things he could expand upon in that world.
In my opinion, I think he did pretty well in other shows too. Inside Job was pretty good. The fact that he was involved with the creation of Owl House was also good.
Oh, okay. So he was involved in the creation of that. I was wondering about that.
Well, he was a VA, but at the same time, he did put some creative input. He just didn't put himself in like the actual writing of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that the writers and creators would listen to his creative input, considering his resume already. You know, he already had the reputation of doing a very good job with his creative stuff.
I think Inside Job got canceled or something, but it definitely has its following. I've seen some of some fan art of it on Bereg.
Yeah, but too bad they don't have Shodas.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing the female protagonist with some Shodas.
Well, the closest thing we got were the children you see in the beginning. And that's about it.
Yeah, she can fuck the random children.
The one she threw her keys at?
I haven't actually watched it. But have you watched it? It sounds like you might have.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I've seen both seasons.
And you liked it?
Oh, it really is really good.
Oh, cool.
It seriously does not take itself seriously, and it doesn't just mess around like other adult shows.
Now, are there any other Shota characters you want to talk about?
Oh, Gregory from FNAF.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. But as soon as Gregory appeared, I was just like, oh, man, they better make good straight Shota stuff. Actually, I personally prefer him with Roxy, but that's my preference.
Yeah, but whenever everyone started seeing the fact that Vanessa was an actual character, I was just like, oh, boy. It's going to happen. I know where this is going. I've seen this before.
Yeah, I mean, him and Vanessa is also good, too. Yes. And then they added a Lolly character in the DLC, but I don't think they did a whole lot of art of that character.
Team Pervy did.
Oh, yeah. Well, Team Pervy always is on top of things. So... But yeah, you don't see nearly as much of that character. I wonder if it's because just... You know, it's kind of like sometimes a game becomes like the flavor of the month, so to speak, and like they really focus heavily on the characters. But maybe it's just because Gregory had a bit more of a prominent role in the original base game.
The way I described it to some other friends that also asked this question before is that Gregory has main protagonist energy.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. He does.
I didn't even know there was a DLC that had a Lolly character in it.
That could be the other reason too.
But I think maybe it goes back to the flavor of the month thing, where I guess by the time the DLC came out, people didn't care as much about the game, and that's why I didn't incidentally hear about it. But who knows?
Like a good example of main protagonist energy is Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just the main protagonist, and I'm just. And there's so many other characters that are just so much better, in my opinion. I think that's the only ones I can think about. Like, I was thinking of making a list in the future at some point. It's just trying to think of all of them on the spot is just kind of like one of those things where I just can't do it.
I mean, you did think of quite a few, actually.
That was a pretty good list.
Because there's also the Digimon characters. There's also, well, Goku, Goten, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Those are classic ones. Yep.
And there's also a few others, like, it's like this one anime. It's like Aristocrat something, and the character is named Kane.
I haven't heard of that one.
I haven't heard of it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what it would be.
It's a fairly unknown one, which is actually kind of sad, since we actually get to see him as a toddler.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about the, is that the one where he gets like a succubus lady or something?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. It's different.
Can I send it in the podcast chat?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I remember I did actually take a screenshot at one point. I was gonna get a commission at some point with him, since I've noticed that no one was making art of him, but I just couldn't find anyone that actually wanted to do it.
He just wasn't well known enough.
Well, yeah, mainly because I couldn't really explain who it was. Here he is.
Well, that is pretty cute, Shota.
Yeah, I've never heard of this anime. It is very cute, though. It looks like he has like mage power, or like he can use like flame attacks or something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the stereotypical isekai or something like that. it's basically that. I don't know why, I just really like this one. It feels different.
Now, does that character stay as a Shota / toddler throughout the series, or does he have to?
Yes, it actually does.
Oh man, what? Okay, Dr. X, we gotta check it out then.
Let's see, for the first episode he stays as a toddler. And for the rest of the series, he stays as a child.
Good. Yes. That good. That's the cut. Now, there we go. That's.
I can't stand the animes that's like, it tricks you, like, the premise is that makes you think that the character's going to stay a Shota the whole time, like, as if that's the premise, but then suddenly they age up.
Yeah. Like five or six episodes goes by, and all of a sudden they're an adult.
Yeah, it's also so funny in this anime because... Well, do you care about spoilers?
Well, if we are potentially going to watch it, maybe.
All I'll say is that he is extremely strong. He stays strong and it just doesn't change.
Interesting.
Which is something I'm surprised they kept in line with. And the only other character that is as strong as him is another Shota. And I won't say who it is. I seriously won't, because they straight up don't even show the character until the credits of the final episode.
Now, since you've gotten a lot of art done for you by artists, are there any artists that you want to talk about or plug?
Well, for one, I don't have favorites. I have art that I think turned out the best compared to the others.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't actually demean anyone else. It's just that these are just overall the ones I think convey joy the most accurate.
Uh-huh.
I would have to say Team Pervy for one.
Nice.
Because like in the two times that they've done joy, it's just so accurate to what I wanted. Another good one is Yadiel.
Heard of them too.
Yeah. Their art is overall some of the best I've seen.
Nice.
And every single time I tell him to do a certain like position or something like that, he just goes above and beyond.
That's always great.
And another one would be Pink Itsu. He's mainly on Twitter, but he does more of the toddler side of stuff. And so far, he is the reason I mention him the most is because of the fact that he has done most of my stickers, most of my emotes.
Oh, I've been noticing your stickers that you've been sending in emotes.
Yeah, and they're actually pretty cheap.
Oh, nice.
They're pretty cheap, and he's really good at listening to the description you want for the character. The only thing you need to know about him is that it's all YCH stuff. Like, it's kind of like a preset, something like that.
The your character here thing?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
But it actually turns out really well, because he's willing to change even the line art if it needs to be.
Oh, that's good.
Because back then he would only do cub-related stuff. And then I realized, oh, wait, he does humans here and there. And so I wanted to ask him one at one point. And it turned out really, really well.
Oh, I'm glad it did.
Nice.
I remember the first one was this one right here.
It's cool, Joey.
Yep. Put on some shades and that's all you need.
Yeah, from there, he ended up making almost, oh God, I would say 18 different stickers and emotes. I think he's the most commissioned artist I've ever had.
Sounds like it, based on how many stickers they've made already.
Yeah, but surprisingly, he's not the one I've spent the most on.
Oh, he isn't?
No, he's not. The one I've spent the most on was Team Pervy.
And based on what you said, you got your money's worth.
Oh, definitely. I remember it was the 7-part story one. The one where Joey's in the playground.
Oh, nice, nice.
I think I don't know if you've seen it while scrolling through my page, but I think it's there.
I think I briefly did.
The one thing I do know is that that's my most liked post in my account.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the art done by Team Pervy of your character.
Yeah, they did the playground one, and they also did the gaming Joey one. I guess the other artist I would mention would be the new artist I've commissioned from. There's Desley, the one that made my collector one. It turned out really well, and yes, the price is pretty high, but honestly worth it. Another one would be, well, I haven't commissioned from them yet, but they are a friend of mine, someone named Wallow. He's around Bragg, he's around Discord, and he's a really good artist, honestly. He just doesn't want to admit it. I'm trying to remember all the names because there's so many.
You've really been around the block.
I really, really have. Oh, another good one is my friend Haru. Hare. I'm actually in his membership thing where every month he does an art piece for you.
Oh, nice. Is that on Fanbox or Subscribestar?
It's a coffee thing.
Oh, okay.
And he's honestly pretty good. He's really, really good. He's so far done one of my twerking Joeys.
Which is going to be very applicable to your D&D thing.
Oh, I actually made one of the twerking Joeys is something I made myself.
Oh, nice.
Before we started, I did mention I actually did want to start going into actually making the art. I have started, I just haven't posted it.
So are you trying to build all your skills before you start posting?
I guess that's the best way to describe it, because sure, my art is decent. It may stand out compared to the others around, but the issue is that, well, most is hand-drawn. And from my experience from lurking around in the community, I've noticed that hand-drawn stuff for some reason just doesn't gain enough traction.
By hand-drawn, do you mean like traditionally drawn art versus digital art?
Yeah, like pencil and paper.
Right.
For some reason, I've noticed that it just doesn't get enough traction unless they redraw it on digital.
I think it's probably that the digital art tends to pop out more when someone's just scrolling through like the timeline or something. That might be it.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
My twerking Joey is the first one I've done that went full digital.
Good first choice.
Yeah, I can send it if you want. There it is.
Nice. I like it.
Oh, is that based on the Among Us thing?
Yeah, it is. It's based on that. I use that as a reference.
It's funny.
The only thing that's weird about it is that for some reason I did the Shallows almost exactly how it was in the original, to the point where I'm just like, wow, I really do have a photographic memory. It really does feel like I'm getting into this position where I will be still continuing supporting the community in this way, but also doing even more and actually doing the art myself.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you're supporting the community, and I really wish you well on your art journey as well.
Yeah, the same.
Yeah, fun fact, I'm actually waiting for some right now. I currently have like 3 artists that I'm waiting on.
Oh, wow. Nice. So see, that's exciting because, I mean, when you get like the artwork completed, I'm guessing it must feel like, you know, like Christmas, basically. It's like you're opening a nice present when you get it sent.
Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it, because in the back of your head, you're just imagining, how are they going to draw my character?
That must be exciting. And people who pay artists to do commissioned art, they're a really important part of the community as well.
Yeah, they definitely are.
So I do really appreciate those people too, supporting all those artists. It's a really important thing to do if you want to and have the means to do it.
Yeah, that's something that I've always believed in, that I'm not sure if those kind of people are gonna hear this podcast, but if they are just like how I was, being like lurking around, just kind of watching everyone have fun, you'd have no idea how much more fun you're gonna have once you actually make your own OC.
Oh, I can bet. Yeah, like that's when you're really getting more involved and putting your soul into things.
Yeah, because back then I literally told myself, I'm never gonna make an OC. And now here I am with almost 20 plus artists that have drawn my OC in so many different styles and so many different scenarios.
But things really changed.
Yeah, and most of it has been done in less than a year.
Wow.
Wow.
A lot of progress.
Is it see? No, there you go.
Like the first Joey was made a year ago.
Wow. So like within 1 year, you've gotten all this amazing artwork from all these different artists. Well, that's really great because, you know, I do think people who are listening to this podcast, that they could be someone just like you, a commissionist that maybe wants to eventually create their own OC or wants to have artwork done from a certain artist. And you know, the more, like, another thing too is, even if you're not someone who can financially pay for artwork, if you're able to like share artwork from an artist that you really like and like, you know, boost it on Brag or whatever, yeah, by doing that you may end up boosting it so that somebody who does have the financial means to support them can then commission them, because that's a good thing, because then that artist will continue to make art because they're able to, you know, get in some income with it, which is always that's always a struggle with creative people, is making an income.
If there's one piece of advice that I would give them, if they are listening to this, just don't be scared to ask for help at some point. People are willing to help in making either your OC become a reality, and artists are always happy with telling you whether or not their commissions are open.
That's very true.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, even when their bio says their commissions are closed, sometimes just asking them, all of a sudden they're just like, you know what? It is open.
I can confirm that is very true.
Because that's something that people tend to forget, that sometimes people just forget to change their bio. And I remember there was this one artist that I was just genuinely curious. They didn't have a commission sheet. They didn't have anything like that. And I simply asked them, can you create something of my OC? And they were just like, well, normally they don't do boys. And so they wanted to know the idea. I told them the idea. They liked it so much to the point where they're just like, can my OC be with yours? And I was just like, you know what? That sounds like a great idea.
That's awesome.
And it's the only one I've ever done where Joey's with a female.
Oh, cool.
I think it's in the Brag one too. I think I posted it.
So if people want to check out your Brag, what's your username on Brag?
And do you have any other socials as well, or is it just your Brag?
It's shyuserjc@brag.net. As for any other socials, well, there's my Discord. That's about it.
Well, it was a great chat with you.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it's honestly been really fun.
Thank you for reaching out to us to ask to be on the podcast.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, I've always wanted to like talk at some point about my experiences in the community.
Well, I'm glad we were able to give you a platform to be able to talk about your experiences, and now other people will be able to listen to it in the community, and I think they're really going to enjoy it.
My main hope is trying to get more people into commissioning, because some of these artists are some of the most talented artists I've seen on the internet in so long.
Yeah, they are really, really talented. So
I've seen a lot of amazing artwork on Bareg.
And I'm not just talking about the NSFW artists, not even Safe for Work artists, because I have commission from Safe for Work as well.
Absolutely.
Like my profile picture, completely Safe for Work. And yet it's so much better than some other child characters and some movies and shows.
And so thank you for coming, Joey. And I hope you have a good night.
You guys as well.